Good afternoon. This is Betty L. Daniels, and you are listening to a pre-recorded program of Impact. Welcome to Impact. This is Betty L. Daniels, and welcome you to Impact on this fourth Tuesday. Today, we will be interviewing personnel from the Detroit Repertory Theater, and it's going to be in two parts. We're going to first hear an interview where I was at the Repertory Theater itself, and I met with Leah Smith, Lynch Travis, and Harry Wetzel. And during the interview, they will give you their proper titles. And then later on during the program, I will be having a follow-up interview with Leah Smith herself. So to get the show started, we will begin with the show with Impact from with the Detroit Repertory Theater.
The Detroit Repertory Theater is committed to a culture of inclusion. Through non-traditional casting and a family atmosphere, everyone is welcome at the Rep.
What was so wonderful to me as an actor was that there were no barriers. I didn't have to just audition for something that somebody would traditionally think, well, we need an African-American for that.
The idea is to change the hearts and minds of the audience through this non-traditional casting.
It is a great home for all of us, and I mean by not just the staff, but also the audience. It is a feeling of community. The Detroit Repertory Theater audience is the family. We're all one family together.
What you then end up with is a beautiful bouquet of multicolored flowers on that stage.
The Detroit Repertory Theater is a proud member of the Michigan Equity Theater Alliance, committed to bringing powerful and engaging theater to Michigan. For more information, please visit www.metatheaters.org.
Hello, how do you do? My name is Harry Wetzel. I'm the production manager and the set designer at the Detroit Repertory Theater.
And how long have you been with the repertory?
I started as an actor in 1989, and Mr. Milan hired me on in 94 or 5 as helping out with the sets, and I've graduated being the sole carpenter and designer and painter and props artisan and set dresser.
Okay, now, never as an actor?
Oh, yes, it's been a while, but I'm very busy as a director and backstage designing and building. I'm perfectly fulfilled and love it here, and I also don't have to memorize stuff, so.
Okay, all right. Now, as I mentioned to you, we're talking about the theater here in Detroit. Have you always been in the Detroit area?
Born and raised in the Detroit area. I went to the University of Detroit. I was born and raised in the Detroit area. I went to the University of Detroit, and I went to New York for a couple of years, and I came back to Michigan, where I'm very happy. And I've been back for over 20 years, and I'm still, thank heavens, I'm here in beautiful Michigan. I am. And here we are at the Detroit Repertory. We're thriving. We are.
Okay. When you say you're thriving, describe what you mean by thriving.
Times are hard for the arts, and it's one of the first things in people's incomes that slides away when times get harder. And we had, times have been tough recently. We had sort of a dip. But this season, the audience has rallied, and we're on the third show of the season, and they've been coming back in force. It's really heartening to have, filled or near filled houses on a regular basis, and it's coming back on a more regular basis than the last couple seasons because times have been hard.
Okay. Now, from your point of view, what keeps the repertory going?
The way the office, that's Mr. Milan, Ms. Busby, have been here for so long, they're very aware and very tuned in to what the audience looks for, and they know their audience, and we pick scripts that the audiences come out for, and because so many of them speak to the very loyal, Detroit Repertory audience. And so they just keep on coming back. The only thing, as I said, was getting in the way was times, because when the show's good, they come. and they tell their friends. And when it's really good, they come back.
Okay. All right, now I'm going to ask you to hand the mic to you.
Hi, my name is Lawrence Chavez. I'm an actor, a director. I've also worked here at the Rep in New Territory as a stage manager this past season. So that's my affiliation here. I came here as an actor. I did my first play in here in 1998. I think I've been in like 6 or 7 shows since then. And I had the great fortune of being selected to direct one of the productions, the production that's actually running right now, Brother Vaughn.
Okay. All right. Now, were you born in, I'm sorry, I was so busy concentrating. Were you born and raised here?
No. I am originally from Chicago, Illinois. And strangely enough, I came here by way of the Twin Cities, Minnesota area, some 30 years ago. I came here to become a super duper corporate salesperson, and through a number of life changes, I found my way back on the stage after an absence of 15 years.
Okay, now you brought up something about promotions. Are you into the promotion aspect of it, or are you promoting the theater? Are you going to promote the theater, or are you more in the stage management?
I'm primarily an artist. What I do is I promote through Facebook and through Twitter and things like that, through my social network. I'm also a freelance person. I performed and worked and directed in a number of venues around southeastern Michigan. So I have a vast network of people in the theater community throughout southeastern Michigan. Mm-hmm. And I try to capitalize on that in terms of supporting the Rep, that type of thing. Again, the Rep is the, I don't want to say grandfather because that sounds old, but it is the oldest nonprofit equity theater in Michigan.
Okay.
That means something to me. I always tout the Rep as a model for other theater companies in this area because they've been able to sustain.
Okay, all right. Now, in my research, and I'm going to be asking each one of you, and before Leah, I want you to move back into the scene a little bit closer. Okay. What is the distinction in a repertory theater as opposed to theater period?
Well, I think the distinction in here is just a name. A true repertory company is like the Hillbilly Company, where they're doing simultaneous productions, where they might have 2 or 3 shows going up during the same week, and actors might be involved in all of those all of those productions.
Okay.
So repertory is the history of a name.
Okay. All right. And Leah, making his hand. Okay, Leah, introduce yourself.
My name is Leah Smith. I am the Marketing and Development Director for Detroit Repertory Theater. That is my title, but I do probably about 37 other jobs. I started off as an actor. My first show was 12 years ago, called Jar the Floor. In 2002, I performed on the repertory stage. That was my real introduction to this theater, and I immediately fell in love with it.
Okay.
I understood their mission, their principles. I call myself a native Detroiter, but the truth is my mother is a native Detroiter, and she eloped with my father, and I was born in Hollywood, and I spent a total of 1.5 years there and came back to the east side of Detroit, and I have never left, save 1 year of college.
The other theaters in the Detroit area, what do you think this makes it?
What I mean by that is that we are all producing professional theater. We are all looking for scripts that we think speak to the audiences that live near where the theater exists. Ours is very distinct. It may be the only theater with a mission of its kind in the United States, and that is a mission to produce professional theater using a system called race transcendent casting. It is not colorblind casting, which became popular over the past few decades, because colorblind is actually a malfunction of the body. Race transcendent casting is casting regardless of race, unless it's germane to the play. Most plays do not specify the race or ethnicity of the characters in the story. However, try not to get too negative. So we're speaking to our audience. The Detroit area is a very, very diverse population. I don't know what the statistics are right now, but we have the highest Arab population, for example, outside of the Middle East in nearby Dearborn. We are a majority African American population within the city limits of Detroit. We have extreme differences in class, in financial status, and Detroit Repertory Theater is trying to cater to that and understand that with the purpose of unifying everyone instead of keeping everyone separate.
So you feel that your audience is distinctive from, say, the Fisher Theater or from the Music Hall, or in Ipso Hall?
Yes. No.
Anybody can comment on that.
Yeah, okay, let's go.
That's kind of interesting you bring that up. I actually worked in the Fisher Building for a number of years and became conversant with the people that worked there, and I actually was in a show that they produced downtown. And their aim is to draw people who are attracted to mainstream Broadway musical types of shows. And when you are in the Fisher Building at 6:30, hour before the curtain, you notice that the demographic is heavily suburban, that type of thing. They're not necessarily people who live in Detroit. You also notice that they do target marketing. They'll do shows that cater to black audiences, like Tyler Perry type shows. People that produce, I guess they call it the term now that I see in the public media is urban theater. That kind of thing. So they have a very different purpose, and those are commercial theaters. Their objective at the end of the day is to make a dollar, to make a lot of dollars. The needle here is to, from a nonprofit theater's point of view, is to bring a community together, to communicate with one another through this form of art that we call theater.
Okay. You said nonprofit. How did that come?
27 by three people: Bruce Moran, Barbara Busby, and Dee Andrus. They each had $100, and they put it together and formed what was then called the Milan Theater Company. It started out as a children's theater. They wrote, produced, and toured their children's shows. They took them to elementary schools and middle schools. They were the first theater company to get a contract with the Detroit Public Schools, as well as in schools in the neighboring suburbs. Through this their mission, their race transcendent mission, they were taking plays to schools where sometimes the children had never seen mixed races on stage before, and without a comment on it. There was just a diverse population on stage. So their mission was never to, like the Nederlanders, make it big, rich, quick. Their mission was to provide a service to the community. Okay, it is not a community theater, but it really is a community theater in the truest sense of trying to provide something for the community to make the community stronger and better.
Okay, now the
now,
three.
Can I just want to say this just to make sure that we all did this in your interview?
Good.
That community theater is traditionally a theater company that's put together for a social reason by a community. They are not paying actors or artists, that type of thing. It is a social activity. The people that work at the Detroit Repertory Theater are professional actors. The Detroit Rep is a part of Actors Equity Association. They operate on a contract whereby they hire a minimum amount of professional actors every year. And these actors are paid a wage and benefits and pensions and things like that. So that is another distinction as well.
Okay.
Is that, you know, so that distinguishes the Rep from a community theater, if you will.
Okay. Okay. What's the interaction now? I've got a promoter, I've got director, I've got
Designer, director.
Designer, director. You know.
Or do you all wear multiple hats?
We all do.
We all do.
That's how it is.
Started as actors.
The core group is you know, it's a small company, and when there's not as many people, each person has to do a handful of other things as well, you know. Mr. Milan is not just the artistic director, but the bartender and the handyman as well, you know, and I have a certain amount of handyman activities, being the stage carpenter, you know. Leah's cleaning up. We all have, you know, this is our home, and we all look at it as such, and each have more than one job in your home, and that's what it's like, you know.
Okay, I'm going to start rounding this up because I know you got time frame. What would you say if you had to identify three things? I'll start with you first, okay? Is what would you say would be three things that you want someone to know about live theater and about how the repertory is impacting each of our community?
Art is so important to all of us, just to human life, and by bringing, you know, live theater, I think it helps enrich a community. It's a cultural event. Going to see a live theater is more of a cultural event than going to the cinema or watching a video of a movie with your friends. You're going out into the community and supporting these artists, these professional artists. And so it's a win-win situation. The community is enriched by being exposed to art, and the artists are kept alive so that they can continue to enrich further communities with further art.
I changed the question just a little bit. What, in your experience, since you've been here, have been the milestones for the repertory theater?
I think that one of the big milestones, and Leah probably can speak to this better than anybody, is that the rep, about 15 years ago, went to a grassroots kind of fundraising, and I, for me, I'm so proud of it, because they have a campaign where they ask people to simply contribute $1 a week. It's simple, effective, and I have been real grateful, because I have family that have come from all over the country that are still sitting there $1 a week in.
Okay.
So, why is theater important? Why is live theater? All right. Theater, first off, has been fighting against technology, maybe that's not the right word, for hundreds of years. Theater, live theater was much more popular, I'll say even 50 years ago, than it is now. Now we have iPods, we have iPhones, we have DVD players. It's so very easy to stay home and not make any commitment by doing that. To go to the theater, you have to make a commitment. You plan for it. You may go out to dinner beforehand. You usually do it with companions, loved ones. You commit to it. You go into the theater, and unlike movies, for those who may argue, well, movies are like that, live performance, and this includes dance and music, the level of commitment to sit down next to another person in an enclosed space in the dark, and then have live people performing in front of you, the true nature, the most distinct element of live performance is that it is never going to be the same twice in a row, ever. You can go to the movies and see Daniel Day-Lewis in whatever, and you can see it in the movie in Los Angeles, and you can see it a week later in New York, and it's going to be the exact same performance. An audience member goes to a live performance and knows that they're breathing the same space with this other live human being, and that what they're seeing is never going to be reproduced, and there is something so special in that, and brings together humanity.
Okay.
That to me is the strongest, most important point about theater, and why live theater, despite all odds, will continue to survive.
And I understand now that this season has been one of it's a growing season, it's one of your best season, and what made that happen?
It is coming back from the, quote, recession.
Okay.
We are not back to the recession levels.
Okay.
I am hopeful.
yes, with this the comeback of the city of Detroit. However, we're still live theater. We are not hockey. We are not a sports event. We are not a video house. We are not a movie house. We're still live theater, and that is still foreign to, I think, to society. So we still have that struggle. We are also not downtown Detroit. And yes, we have been asked over the decades, you know, why don't you take this beautiful thing you're doing and why don't you take it to downtown? You'll make so much more money. Well, or you'll succeed, or more people will see you. We're not going to do that. Okay. The people who have been supporting us for 57 years, 40 years, decades, we still have people who have been coming here for decades, don't want us to. We don't want to. We like where we are. The neighborhood appreciates us. We like our position in being a part of neighborhood revitalization.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Very nice. Thank you very much. My name is Sinead Bradley. I am at the Repertory Theater, and I just saw the movie Postcards. It was really good. I thought it was funny. I laughed. I cried. It was scary. It was scary sometimes. Like some parts were scary, some parts were interesting, and it was pretty good though. It was all right. It's the play that will make you laugh, make you cry, make you want to have all your emotions mixed in together.
Dr. Ashok Gupta, I'm from West Bloomfield, Oakland County area to see the show at the Repertory Theater. It's really a nice show, Postcards. I just said the last minute, I was just home to spend a couple of hours here, and I love this play. These actors are incredible. I think a lot of us have been in Detroit area for almost 39 years, and the show here is just so much quality. And people travel to New York for Broadway theater. This is more than that, to travel half an hour and enjoy this show. All the actors, very hard to say which actor is better. I think all of them really put their best here. We got to continue to support these local theaters in Detroit. We love the show.
Play is called Postcards. A white photographer living in Shiloh, Tennessee, has taken pictures. Not just ordinary pictures. I think that you have seen, many of you have seen photographs of a, looks like a pleasant Sunday outing with men, women, and even children smiling and having a good time. But then you look up and you see a body hanging from a tree. Black man, sometimes even a black woman. And they were transferred to postcards. And it was something like writing a friend and saying, I'm having a wonderful time. Wish you were here. What a shameful history. And it happened not just in the South, it happened in Indiana, any place where the Ku Klux Klan had a grip. The story is about this man, now divorced from his wife, who's living in New York, and he has a new girlfriend, and she happens to be black. And he has kept these photos in a box, and she discovers this box. You can well imagine the effect it had on her. Postcards is a world premiere right here in Detroit. It's received 4 stars from John Monahan of the Detroit Free Press. It has received rave reviews. For just $20, you're having a wonderful time in a wonderful place. Your parking is safe. You're going to have champagne if you want, and goodies to eat, and then watch a play that is profoundly moving.
My name is Rilla Cook, and I am at the Detroit Repertory Theater, where I just saw and thoroughly enjoyed Postcards. It's a very interesting play, and it provides a little food for thought, and perhaps will give you a different perspective on the racial situation, or I should say the racial climate, in America in 1954. I was listening to both of the main characters, and Elvin especially, I could see how tormented he was, because apparently he changed his opinion, shall we say, of what he was doing and why he was doing it, and changed his feelings about other people. I'm really not good at giving off-the-cuff remarks, but it was very good, and I think since this evening's performance was a fundraiser for Relay for Life, the chapter that has been established at the St. Christopher and St. Paul Episcopal Church, it also provides a lesson for those, anybody's church really, it provides a lesson and should prompt, might prompt some discussion perhaps in a Bible study. It could be used as a tool for teaching Bible study, for example. And I guess that's all that I have to say. It was a very good play. I didn't know what to expect myself. I only knew that I wanted to see it, and I also wanted to support Relay for Life. And I guess that's it. And I would encourage anyone who has any qualms about the play because of the subject matter, I encourage you to come and see it, because perhaps your perspective, too, might be changed if you would just come and spend an hour or two at the Repertory Theater. It'd be well worth your time and money well spent.
I'm Jackie Garcia, and I'm here at the Detroit Repertory Theater. I have just seen the play Postcards. It was very well done, as they usually are. The sets are always more than adequate and done rather simply, but they get the feeling across. The actors are very good. This particular play was, I don't know, shattering. It left you with a lot of thoughts, and it's quite an experience. They also have happy plays sometimes. They usually have a theme, but they do good work, and I recommend everyone to come on down and see what they've got.
In May of 2013, the public TV made this notation on the YouTube about the Repertory Theater. It says, the Repertory Theater is recognized for its pioneer efforts in all phases of theater and its strong community involvement. Born and bred in the heart of Detroit, the Repertory, since its inception, has remained in the theater vanguard by staunchly advocating interracial casting, creating novel audience development techniques, stressing theatrical relevancy, inventing an array of cultural and educational community services, and playing an active role in neighborhood revitalization. Now, the reference is made to the other parts of what the theater does besides just putting on plays or promoting plays. It has what they call a charitable partnership, cultural fellowship program, arts and education program, playwright program. And it also has also the Lobby Gallery. Those are some of the other distinctive things that is a part of what comes to make up the Repertory Theater. Now we're going to return to our interviews, and at this time we're going to be once again speaking with Leah Smith, who is the Public Relations Director. Now, Why don't you tell me, I'm looking, you know, when I was looking at your website, I was looking at the outreach services and things like that.
Yes.
And we really didn't get into that when we were doing the other work and stuff. So
right.
Tell me something about now, I'm going by the categories, because I've got your website up, and so I'm looking at the particular categories. And one is the charitable partnerships. And can you give me a little more information?
Yes.
Okay, tell me about that.
Well, there's a... Two different versions. We have a ticket incentive program.
Mm-hmm.
And what that is we offer deeply discounted tickets to any kind of organizations, churches, nonprofits, family reunions, environmental groups, civic groups, neighborhood groups. And what they do is they bring their groups to the theater
mm-hmm.
at these extremely discounted prices.
Okay.
And for the purpose of raising funds for their specific organization,
mm-hmm.
as well as bringing awareness to their organization and their constituents, and introducing them to the Detroit Repertory Theater.
Okay.
So we have partners with about 150, approximately 100 to 200 every year partner with the rep, and they bring their groups in. And like I said, raise funds for their causes,
okay.
as well as giving them a valuable cultural experience that they may have never had before.
Okay, now how did this come about? Can you give me a little more history about how that came about, how you got to...
Oh, it's way before my time. We started doing these outreach programs in the 70s.
Oh, okay.
And we've, yeah, that's the tickets are extremely discounted, and then they sell them at whatever cost they want to sell them
for.
So,
okay.
All right. Of these groups can raise up to, I think the figure is, I can't.
Okay, I'm just looking when I in your homepage, it was saying that I guess this must have been like the 2013 year. That was close to $250,000. That muscle was raised. That's
for the individual groups. Yes.
Right. Okay. Now we're going to go to the next one. It's called the Cultural Fellowship Program. And how does that
yes.
work?
Okay. So it's similar, except these are nonprofit organizations in the metropolitan Detroit area that for the underserved, challenged, socially, financially, emotionally challenged groups.
Mm-hmm.
Alternatives for Girls is one of the clients, Salvation
okay.
Army, the CAS co-op,
okay.
Community services. And what they do is they are able to send their clients to come and see theater.
Oh, all right.
At $2 or $3 per person.
Okay.
And these are probably some of my most favorite clients. These are people who are oftentimes they have nothing, no other outlets in their life, and they get to glimpse alternative lifestyles.
Oh, okay, theater. Okay. Because I was going to try to ask you the distinction between that and the charitable things, but this is more of a personal enrichment type of
yes.
thing. Okay, all right. And then they're also at the same time.
Well, they both are, but the cultural fellows are, these are people who aren't getting any other cultural opportunities.
Okay, and then that was the key thing. This is a fellowship type of thing. So
yes.
it's almost like a charitable donation on your part, is it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we got the
decision. That's how it works.
Okay. All right.
That's how we're able to stay here. People sometimes forget in the business world that it's really give and take.
Yes. Okay. Now the next category I'm looking at is the acting workshops. And can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Okay. I'm glad you saved that for last.
Okay.
Because that is currently on hiatus.
Okay.
Since 1975, these, I know the acting workshop began in 1975, and I think that's around the time the other two outreach programs began.
Mm-hmm.
The acting workshop began, and we were funding it at first. In the 80s, the city of Detroit stepped up, not just for us, but other cultural institutions mm-hmm. in the city, and began funding our workshop. And they funded it for, I believe, almost 30 years until a couple years ago. With the crash, the Detroit Reps Acting Workshop lost funding.
Okay.
So we are currently seeking funding for that acting workshop.
All
I'll
right.
tell you a little about what it was, and we hope, I'm telling you, it will be back.
Okay.
When is the big question?
All right. Cool.
The acting workshop was a 10-week, we did it twice a year, a 10-week acting workshop that culminated in a showcase performance that was free to low to moderate Detroit residents. It was for adults. There's a Mosaic Youth Theater that has obviously workshops for youth. We were the only one, have been the only one who's ever offered anything like this to people who are 18 and over, and it's open to any age, from 18 to 100, to people who have zero experience in theater, as well as professionals who just want to brush up on their craft. And some people, actors you have seen on the Detroit repertory stage, have come out of the acting workshop with after having no experience at all. It's the idea. It's a life improvement workshop. Many of these people may have just have had a dream deferred. Things have happened in their life, and then when they have had children or sometimes grandchildren, have always thought, you know, I'd like to try that, come in. Some people are just looking for an outlet to broaden their life.
Okay. I'm sitting here with a smile on my face, and I guess maybe audience, I'll tell them about the smile, because I was in one of those workshops, okay? And that's
I did forget who I was talking to for a second.
And that's how I got the bug. And I'm kind of dating myself, but one of my younger family members attended it, and because I'm walking across the stage and stuff, and I had to kind of like wave, but it was really how I got the bug and that stuff. And so I hope to that I'll be able to return, because it was very, it was, like I said, we almost had to, you had a waiting list at times, didn't you have for that?
Yes, but you can imagine what the waiting list is now after 2 years of
I can't imagine. I know I was, matter of fact, I think I was on that waiting list for a year or so before I finally was able to get it, you know, with my schedule and everything else like that. And it was really very, very beneficial. It nourished, like you said, that dreams deferred, and that's exactly what it was. Now, there is one other, I did not quite see that for last, but there is one other one that we didn't, that's in here. It's called, there's two others, the education program and the playwright program. So what are the...
Okay. The playwright program, I can answer that. The playwright program is playwrights from all over the world are able to submit their original plays for consideration for a fully professional staged production on our stage. We get hundreds of submissions every year. And as a result, many of the plays you will see in every season will be world premiere plays. And many times in the history of the rep, these plays have grown on to get other productions across the country, across the world, after having their first world premiere on our stage. So they're able to see the script come to life, and like I said, many of them, it may be the first play they've ever written, let alone was able to get produced.
Okay.
So we're proud of that. We keep in touch with many of our playwrights. Unfortunately, we only do 4 a year, so it's very hard when hundreds
of
commissions come in.
Well, you know, as in anything art, that's always the case of trying to get your work out into the public and, you know, get that one show and stuff like that.
Right.
Now, your season has ended, is that correct?
No, it is about to. In a week and a half, on May 29th, will be opening night of our final production of our 13-14 season.
Ah, okay.
The final show of our season is always for only 4 weeks. It's the shortest run of the year.
All right.
In June.
Mm-hmm.
And during that month, we are making our final decisions on what the plays will be in the lineup for the next season, and
mm-hmm.
then it will be announced shortly after.
Okay.
That production
mm-hmm.
is a world premiere
mm-hmm.
by a playwright named Tom Baum.
All right.
And it is called Endangered Species.
Okay.
And it is a comedy.
Okay.
It is a farce about a professor
all right.
and his wife who is confronted by a surprise visit by a former student who has taken his teachings on animal rights literally,
mm.
too much to his dismay.
Okay.
And there's themes of animal rights and human rights. There is 40-pound rabbits.
Okay.
And a farcical romance.
All right. Okay. Now, and that season starts again when now?
May 29th.
All right.
Wednesday night is opening night.
Okay. Now, and you're going to give us the information of how to go about getting tickets and all that other kind of stuff, or how to contact people? No, how to contact.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, first of all, there's the old-fashioned way of picking up the telephone
mm-hmm.
and calling us at the theater,
mm-hmm.
and that's at 313-868-1347.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets can be purchased over the phone with a Visa or MasterCard.
Okay.
Of course, I should say the real old-fashioned way is to knock on our door and come to the box office.
All right.
You can also do that.
All right.
During the week, during our business hours, which are 10 to 5, Monday through Friday.
All right.
And more information can be found, of course, about all our productions and who we are and what we do
mm-hmm.
at DetroitRepTheater.com.
Okay. All right.
We also, of course, have a Facebook page.
All right.
Detroit Repertory Theater.
Okay. All right. And now one last thing, and then I will give that same information again. The Lobby Gallery. What?
Yes.
Okay. Tell us about the Lobby Gallery.
We are so proud of our Lobby Gallery. We have an envied lobby, theater lobby.
Mm-hmm.
By so many other small professional theaters
mm-hmm.
because we have the original oak bar that was here when we
yes, yes, the building is beautiful. It's a very
and
intimate
setting.
We have
a beautiful candlelit lobby where we display works of art that are curated by our lobby gallery curator. Her name is Gilda Snowden. She is a Kresge Award winner.
All right.
And an internationally known artist.
Mm-hmm.
And she brings in local mid-career artists
mm-hmm.
who display their work during
mm-hmm.
the run of every show. We have a different artist for every show.
All right.
And we give them a champagne reception
mm-hmm.
that is separate from our theater productions. And where the artist can meet patrons, art patrons, and sell their works, and we have them do that. We commit with the Detroit Rep takes no commission.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got more than one thing happening in our building. It's not just theater.
But it's all about art.
Multiple forms of visual art.
Yes. And now the last production, I guess that was about the brothers. I can't remember.
Brother of All, yeah.
All right. And that was where Lynch directed that one?
Lynch Travis, yes.
Yes. Okay.
His directorial debut on the record.
Yes. Because in the earlier, during the show, we had that interview where Lynch indicated that he was doing that. And when I was looking over your information, you've been a director at some times, as well
yes.
as, okay, Harry. Now, who's going to be directing the one coming up, this final one?
Harry is is the director of Endangered Species.
All right, okay.
And, you know, we're really excited about that cast. There is there's an actor, a well-respected veteran of the Detroit area theater scene who is making his debut finally as the professor.
Okay.
And two returning actors to the stage, one who just made his debut in A Facility for Living. So he has become part of our family, company here.
Okay.
And then another one, beloved by audience, she has been our audiences. She has been on our stage multiple times. Janae Ann Smith, who was just in My Occasion of Sin. And then a young woman making her debut, her professional debut, on our stage, who came out of the acting workshop.
Okay.
So you've got run the gamut of experience in this production. So
and that's the signature part of what Detroit Repertory is about, isn't it?
That's right. It's in all areas.
Yes.
Yes. How we do things here.
Right.
Bringing people together, all
right.
walks of life, all different experiences.
Now, before we go back, that lobby gallery, how long has that been going on? Is that something, and how did that come about?
Since the 70s as well.
All right. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, you know, this is going to really be great, and what I want you to do is now again give me the information for people who are interested in different aspects of Detroit Repertory Theater. How they get in contact with you.
Okay, first of all, on the internet, go to DetroitRepTheater.com. That you can sign up to get on our mailing list to get more information. There's a whole lot of information on the website as it is. There's ways to contact us, of course. We have the Facebook page, and our telephone number is 313-868-1347. Our tickets are still the lowest price for any professional.
And they can call you and get
professional theater in the region.
Okay.
$17 in advance.
Okay.
Or $20 at the door.
All right.
And we, of course, also have those packages, the fundraising packages,
Okay.
our cultural fellows. If you're interested in any of those programs, you can call and we'll let you know what they're all about.
Okay, that's exactly what I wanted to hear. Now,
what is art?
What is theater?
Why is it important?
That's like asking, what is life? Why are we here?
Does it matter what we do with it?
Theater, you see, is the mirror of our lives.
Our struggles.
Our pain.
Our joys.
And our triumphs.
Theater is this crazy person who has the courage.
Or the insanity.
To show up naked.
Sometimes literally.
To stand in front of an audience and show their work and expose themselves.
To say, what do you think?
It's not that they're not scared.
Of course they are.
Terrified sometimes.
But that's the price you have to pay to have the ability.
The honor.
The immense pleasure.
Of touching perfect strangers.
Of being moved to tears.
To laugh and to marvel.
To open hearts and minds.
To open hearts and minds.
In the end, this is why we do what we do.
We all have busy lives.
There's so much information, opinions, and confusion.
It's hard not to feel lost, scared, and overwhelmed.
How do we make sense of it all?
How do we find ourselves and each other in all this noise?
We're not here to tell you what to do or to lead you down the right path.
We're in the same boat you are.
We are here to tell you stories.
Sometimes they're funny, sometimes sad, or both.
But they are all glimpses of us.
It's like peeking in someone's bedroom.
We're reading their diary.
These stories let us in.
These very intimate,
very personal,
and very honest slices of life.
Theater.
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 Is where we see us.
Where we poke fun at ourselves.
And laugh at our shortcomings.
Where we marvel at the human spirit.
Where we start to see things from different perspectives.
Is where we forget where we are for a couple of hours.
And get transported into stories that touch us.
Move us.
Or simply delight us.
These stories break barriers.
Barriers of time,
backgrounds, and opinions.
They help us make sense of what it means to be alive right now.
And hopefully, they help us to find beauty and peace
amongst all the noise and confusion.
Hopefully,
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 they'll help us find us
and each other.
This is what we do.
This is why we do it.
This is who we are.
The Detroit Repertory Theater is committed to a culture of inclusion. Through non-traditional casting and a family atmosphere, everyone is welcome at the Rep.
What was so wonderful to me as an actor was that there were no barriers. I didn't have to just audition for something that somebody would traditionally think, well, we need an African-American for that.
The idea is to change the hearts and minds of the audience through this non-traditional casting.
It is a great home for all of us, and I mean by not just the staff, but also the audience. It is a feeling of community. The Detroit Repertory Theater audience is the family. We're all one family together.
What you then end up with is a beautiful bouquet of multicolored flowers on that stage.
The Detroit Repertory Theater is a proud member of the Michigan Equity Theater Alliance, committed to bringing powerful and engaging theater to Michigan. For more information, please visit www.metatheaters.org.
And that concludes this particular portion of Impact, where we had an interview with the staff and personnel from Detroit Repertory Theater. Hope to see you the next Impact show on the fourth Tuesday. This is Betty Daniels saying good evening. The views and opinions that you heard during this particular program does not reflect those of Henry Ford College, the staff, or the students. Thank you very much, and look again to seeing you on the next fourth Tuesday for Impact.
Never going to be reproduced, and there is something so special in that, and it brings together humanity.
What would you say, someone to know about live theater and about how the repertory is impacting the Detroit community?
Art is so important to all of us, just to human life, and by bringing, you know, live theater, I think it helps enrich a community. It's a cultural event. Going to see a live theater is more of a cultural event than going to the cinema or watching a video of a movie with your friends. You're going out in the community and supporting these artists, these professional artists. And so it's a win-win situation. The community is enriched by being exposed to art, and the art.
I have a vast network of people in the theater community throughout southeastern Michigan, and I try to capitalize on that in terms of supporting the Rep, that type of thing. Again, you know, the Rep is the, I don't know, I don't want to say grandfather because that sounds old, but it is the oldest nonprofit equity theater in Michigan. That means something to me. I always tout the Rep as a model for other theater companies in this area.
To Broadway, remember me to Herald Square. Tell all the gang on 42nd Street that I will soon be there.
I'm Joe, host of The Best of Broadway. Every Tuesday from 2 to 4 p.m., we bring you the score of a Broadway musical as well as individual theatrical numbers. For the best in musical theater and theatrical music, join me and the gang on 42nd Street for The Best of Broadway, Tuesdays from 2 to 4 p.m. here on WHFR.FM, the station making waves.
Give my regards to old Broadway and say that I...
This is Madman Glaze at the Drop Top here on 89.3 WHFR.FM. Just here to let you know that the Drop Top has moved from Thursday to Monday. Hear that same slamming music and that same hip-hop beat? Just letting you know, the fun will keep rolling every Monday from 2 to 4 here on WHFR.FM, the only radio station that is making waves.
Robots the size of blood cells, Earth-like planets outside the solar system.
Science fiction?
No, science faction. Join us, Seth Shostak and
Molly Bentley and
WHFR each Tuesday at noon for Big Picture Science.
Big Picture Science steps back to get the wide-angle view on science and technology from where they've been to where they're headed.
So think big. Big Picture Science. You'll find it here on WHFR.FM every Tuesday at noon.
We're making waves on WHFR 89.3.
Dig deeper. Local news and alternative views for Dearborn and the surrounding area on the new WHFR Journal every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. and anytime as a podcast from WHFR.FM. Join our WHFR news team as we dig deeper, making waves.
That concludes our program, and we will go out now with something from Nelson Matta and Robin Ben-Hur from Mojave. Stay tuned for the next scheduled programs. You are listening to WHFR Dearborn. This has been a pre-recorded show of Impact. Thank you.
You're listening to WHFR Dearborn. Guys and dolls, you're at the malt shop with Daddy G on WHFR Dearborn. And we're going back to the 50s and 60s again this week. So hang those fuzzy dice on the rearview mirror and grab your favorite squeeze and head on down to the malt shop. I'll put a dime in the record machine and spin those platters and you can do the dancing over there. Okay? So, here we are. Back in the 50s.
Doolang, doolang, doolang. Doolang, doolang.
He's so fine.
Doolang, doolang, doolang.
Wish he were mine.
Doolang, doolang, doolang.
That handsome boy with
the
hair. One with the wavy hair. I don't know how I'm gonna do it. But I'm gonna make a mine. Be the envy of all the girls.
I said that he was a tease.